The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Right, thank you, Brother and Mrs. Heminger. I appreciate that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and look at the book of Acts, chapter 9. Look at verse 13 through verses 15, if you will, and watch this again. The Bible says, and Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he have done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." But the Lord said unto him, now Ananias is afraid right now. He's heard of all the evil things that has taken place. He's heard about how this man has certainly come against all Christians. And by the way, this man by the name of Saul was very good at it. Oftentimes you find Saul, as I've said before, appearing in the back of a church somewhere. And as the man of God would get up and the man of God would begin to preach, all of a sudden he would spew out things and he would try to get the man of God off track. You'll find that later, here's what Saul would do, is he would follow those Christians that would testify in church, the strong Christians that would stand up for their faith. He would follow them even to their house. He would find out where they would live, and later on, he would give false accusations against these believers in a place of court so that these would be put into jail. Some of them even died in jail. This is the man that God is saying, I want you, Ananias, to go and appear before. The Bible says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings. It says, and kings and the children of Israel. I want you to consider some things in this verse right here, where the first portion of the verse says in verse 15, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And I want to speak for a few minutes we have together on God chose me. Can I tell you that God has also chosen you? God has a reason for you being here. God has a purpose for your life. What a shame it would be for somebody, if you will, to live their entire life and not fulfill the reason that you were given life. What a shame it would be for somebody to live their entire life and live it in such a way that it would be displeasing to God. You know, God has a will for your life. God has a purpose for your life. It was Harry S. Truman that was very concerned about the will of God for his life, so he would step out, and little by little, he would try to accomplish different things in his life. There was a man that was a preacher, not a president, but a preacher, that said this one time when preaching in his pulpit, he said this, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest accomplishment. May I say this morning, that is very true. God wants us not just to be able to know the will of God, but God wants us to be able to accomplish the will of God. Now, the will of God may be different for everybody's life that's in here. The will of God for me is that I'm the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, and I do preaching abroad and having conferences to train pastors, especially overseas, and to start independent Baptist churches and help them to start their colleges and things of that nature. Well, that's the will of God for me. But what is the will of God for you? What is it that God would have you to do? Might be today that the will of God is that one day you'll hold a position in a law firm. It might be the will of God that one day you'll be a dentist. Might be the will of God that one day you'll be a carpenter. It might be the will of God that one day you will be somebody that works in an office somewhere helping to detail that company. It might be the will of God that one day you would be that precious mother that your children look up to and they call blessed. It might be the will of God for you to do all sorts of different things. But may I say, it's always the will of God, no matter what state you find yourself in, to please the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing you could ever do in your life. As long as you keep God first in your life and stepping out and accomplishing whatever will of God God has for you, the most important thing you could do every single breath that you breathe is to breathe it to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you some things this morning that the Apostle Paul, as we'll know as Saul to begin with, went through in his life. I want to show you some things that could be encouraging to you. Take your Bible and look at Acts chapter 9. Look at verses 1 and 2. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, "And Saul," it says, "yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord," it says, "went unto the high priest and desired," it says, "of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," it says, "whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." So he had one intent. The Apostle Paul, not yet known as the Apostle Paul, as I mentioned a moment ago, but known as Saul, and having a real testimony as to what Saul was known for. He was the persecutor of the church. He was the persecutor of the brethren. Now, can I tell you, as we know him today, he's the great Apostle Paul. He's the one that was a church planter. He's the one that was a great missionary. He was the one that was a great preacher. He's the one that God used to be able to deliver the truth, even, yes, to those that would sit amongst the Sanhedrin and those that knew the scriptures very, very well. Paul certainly could hold his own in preaching and teaching the marvelous truths of God's word. But can I say, has a past. Can I say this, that God wants to use me, and that me, if you could say it yourself, that God wants to use me as you speaking that, I believe that we see that God wanted to use the Apostle Paul. God wanted to use him long before he became known as the Apostle Paul. And can I say this, because he was a me, and he said this, that he was a chosen vessel unto me, which is God himself. So God was looking at the Apostle Paul and saying, "Now look, I've got something for you to do." But every single person that will ever be used of God, can I submit to you something this morning, has a past. Oh, you may have a wretched past, or you may have a slightly mild past, or you may have a spotless past, but every single person in this room has a past. Now, can I say that the Apostle Paul had a past that caused men to fear him? I mean, he was the persecutor of the brethren. He was the persecutor of the local church. He was one that would breathe out threatenings and slaughterings among those that were children of God. But don't let your past ever trip you up. Matter of fact, D.L. Moody was greatly used as an American evangelist, and he would preach overseas many, many times, and God greatly used him. Though they say he only had a sixth grade education, he did not let that stop him. He did not let his past stop him. Can I say that there was Sir Winston Churchill? He was the Prime Minister of England in his 60s, and these were the darkest days of that which was England. But yet he rose up to lead the country to victory simply because he did not let his age be something that would deter him in accomplishing the will of God. It was in 1954. 1954 was the opening day of baseball. There was the Milwaukee Braves and there was the Cincinnati Reds. There was a rookie that played for the Reds, and he hit four doubles. There was another person that played for the Cincinnati Reds that didn't do too well, but his opponent that stood against him even did worse than he did. He played for the Milwaukee Braves. By the way, Jim Greenhouse that I mentioned just a moment ago that hit those four doubles in a row, if you will, faced one day that which was Hank Aaron, the one that struck out five times in a row that played for the Braves. And as he stood there, a reporter came up and he was visiting Jim Greenhouse and saying, "What an excellent job you had done." Then he looked over at Hank Aaron and said, "There's probably no hope for you in baseball. I mean, after all, you struck out five times in a row. What do you think your future's going to be?" And Hank Aaron said, "I don't know about my future, but I can tell you what's in my immediate present. I've planned on picking up that bat and swinging it again." Now, can I tell you, listen, everybody has a past. You can let your past get you down. You can let your past discourage you. 1922, there was a 38-year-old. He was in debt. He was out of work. He was somebody that was even visiting trash cans and getting different types of food out of different trash cans when people were not looking. Oh, but in 1945, he became President Truman, the President of the United States. There was time Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, perhaps the greatest inventor in American history, but as a youngster, they said, you're simply unteachable. You'll never amount to anything. There was Albert Einstein, perhaps the greatest thinker in American history, and yet they said to Albert Einstein one day, as the schoolmaster talked to him, they said this to him, they said, you're simply unteachable. There was Abraham Lincoln. He failed. By the way, he was the 16th president of the United States, and he failed 18 consecutive times before he became president of the United States. Now, wait a minute. Any one of these or any one of us could look at our past, and we could say this, there's just no way I'm going to make it. There's no way. I mean, I might as well give up. I might as well throw in the towel. I'm not made it. I mean, look at me. My life is a wreck. My marriage is a wreck. My children's not turning out right. It just seems like that everything I touch turns the coal. Nothing is turning out right whatsoever. But can I remind you, some of the greatest people that God has ever used has people that have had a past. And everybody has a past. Don't let your past stop you from serving Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't let your past keep coming up against you and slapping you upside the head. Can I say this? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I say this? You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can I say this? The same God that answered prayer yesteryear is the same God that answers prayer today. He's a prayer hearing. He's a prayer answering God. And can I say this morning that he cares about you? Look, every single person has a past. But if you're not careful, here's what takes place. That past will creep up on you. Boy, you know, I can't be a successful father because I made one tragic decision. Why can't be a successful wife because I made one tragic decision? Why can't be a successful son or daughter because I made one tragic decision? Why can't be a successful soul winner because I made one tragic decision? Why can't be a successful church member because I made one? How many people have gotten discouraged in church and they decide they're going to throw in the towel simply because somebody hurt their feelings, somebody stepped on their toes, somebody sat in their lap, somebody spit in their eyeball, somebody criticized them, somebody Facebooked about them. Can I tell you? Listen, it doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter who's against you. Can I say that Jesus Christ is for you? He's on your side. He wants to help you. He wants to answer prayer. He wants to come through for you, and he'll do that if you just get out of the way and let God be God. I'm saying this morning that every me has a past. That's including you. Statement number two, every me has a potter. Isn't it something how God doesn't give up on us? That little song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. But he's still working on me. Isn't it true? Oh, the old spiritual used to say, it's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, so many times, here's what we do. We are so concerned about those around us that we forget that God wants to work on us. Well, you don't understand, preacher, my circumstances, that might be the way God's working on you. Well, you don't understand, preacher, the complexities of life. I understand this. I understand God loves you enough to give you personal attention. I understand God cares about you to allow you to go through the privilege of trials so that you can get close to him and understand that he, yes, he is God. I'm saying this morning, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says in the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. The Bible says, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Listen to it. And then it says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. As he went down to the potter's house, God was going to show him some things that God could do, not just in the individual life, but in the life of a nation. Not just in the individual life, but the life of all the people that he would come across. And can I tell you, many times we would try to escape the work of the potter, the work of God that God wants to do in our life. You know, we get God wrong sometimes, don't we? Here's what we think. We think, boy, if God's blessing us, God sure is good. But if God is rebuking me, God is not good. No, God is good, dear friend. Whether you're getting the blessings of God or whether you're getting a rebuke of God, it doesn't change the attributes of God. God is love, and God loves you, and God cares about you, and God wants to work in your life, and God wants to work in my life. And we have to decide to let God be God. Well, I tell you what, I just don't think it's fair. Doesn't matter what you think, that's not going to change God. Well, I tell you what, these people that treated me unjustly. I'm sorry about that, but that does not change God. Don't you let anybody get you off focus as to who God is. God is the potter. Hey, looky here. If God slaps you upside the head, you ought to look at him and say, thank you. Hello. You know, we are so puffed up about ourselves, aren't we? Why, I can't believe I got a broken arm. I got a broken arm. And I can't believe God must not love me. I've got a broken, and you blame it on God when you're the one that stuck your hand in that place. Boy, my relationship is not right with my wife. My relationship is not right with my husband. And boy, I tell you what, it's God's fault. You're the one who opened your mouth. You know, you stop blaming God for everything that you cause. You want me to say that again? I said, stop blaming God for everything you cause. You say, I don't have any friends, preacher. You know, well, it might be because of the way you talk. Or it might be because of the lack of deodorant you wear. Now, I'm saying this, dear friend, please understand that God wants to work in our life. God wants to help us. Every single person that sits underneath the pitch of my voice needs to understand all of us have a past. All of us have a potter. Now, he'll work with you. You know, you might have different lumps in your life that he's got to work out. You might have different cracks in your life that he has to patch up. You might have different flaws in your life that he has to come along beside and try to make good. But he's not giving up on you. And dear friend, if he's not giving up on you, pray tell me that you give up on yourself. Why do you do that? You know, if he's not giving up on you and your family, why are you giving up on your wife? If he's not giving up on your family, why are you giving up on your husband? If he's not giving up on your family, why are you giving up on your kids? You know, why are you doing that? Do you understand that he is still working? Now, you might not see him working. I've talked to many people that say, I tell you what, boy, God is doing this inside of my life. Well, I don't see nothing outside, but that doesn't mean that God's not working on the inside. It takes a while. You know, I hope that I'm a better Christian today than I was a year ago. I hope that I'm a better Christian today than I was 6 months ago or a week ago even. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that every me has a past. Every me has a potter. Watch this. Here it is. Every me goes through pain. You know, when you take that pottery and you put it on that slab and you put it into that 900-degree Fahrenheit furnace, what does that do? I'll tell you what it does. It hardens it. It makes the form become reality. Now, aren't we supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? You know, aren't we supposed to be that which is firm in Christ? You know, listen to me. Circumstances should never get you off path because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, when circumstances gets us off path, let me tell you, when circumstances gets us off path, circumstances gets us off path when we're looking at the circumstances rather than keeping our eyes on the Creator that can help us through the circumstances. Old Peter got out of the boat, didn't he? He got out of the boat. Isn't it funny, though? He didn't even know it was the Lord. If you read your Bible, when Peter got out of the boat, he said, Lord, that's what he said exactly, if it be you. He wasn't even sure it was the Lord. He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to thee on the water. I wouldn't want to step out on an if. But Peter stepped out on an if. Now, wait a minute. All of a sudden, the waves became boisterous as you study your Bible. And you're going to find out that when Peter took his eyes off the Lord, what did he do? He began to sink. Come on. You ever get discouraged? Don't raise your hand. You ever feel like giving up? You ever feel like, and by the way, listen to me, does a Christian ever get you discouraged? Well, I can't believe that Christian act that way. Do they ever discourage you? Have they ever let you down? Now, wait a minute. Don't forget that the potter is going to maybe have to bring you through some pain and be able to help you. I'll look at it, Acts chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and men which journeyed, it says, with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. And Saul rose up from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. The Bible says, and he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. Now, by the way, here's what's happening to what is becoming the great Apostle Paul. God is taking Saul. Here's what he's doing. God is taking Saul, a persecutor of the church, persecutor of believers. I mean, just bad attitude, just wanting to destroy them, and stand up and hold your Bible. And so here's what God's doing. God is taking Saul down a pathway of getting closer to God. Now, wait a minute. In order for him to become closer to God, God's going to have to chip away at him. God's going to have to chip away at him. God's going to have to bring some things in his life and chip away at him. And by the way, God might be doing that with you right now. God might be doing that in your life. But if you're not careful, here's what some Christians do. When God begins to chip away at you, you're saved, you're going to heaven, you've got eternal security in Christ. But when God begins to chip away, might be through your parents, God's chipping away at you. Might be through a relationship, God's chipping away at you. Might be through somebody that is employed by you, or you being employed by someone else. But God just keeps chipping away at you. Now here's what happens. You come to church and somebody chips away at you a little bit. And before you know it, you say, I ain't going back to that church. You know why? Because somebody bothered you. But might it be that God sent that somebody in your life not to hurt you, though sometimes it is painful, but to make you better at becoming who you're supposed to be? Come on. You know, all of a sudden God sends somebody in your life and they tell you something that rubs you the wrong way. I mean, they get around you and it bothers you. And that's God bringing people in your life not to damage you, not to destroy. This is called God's love. By the way, that's what you do when you tell your kids you love them. I'm not going to let you do this because I love you and it might be dangerous. You tell your own kids that. Well, I'm not going to let you do that because after all, you know, you could get in trouble doing that. You know what you're doing to your kids? You're right. Doing this to your kids, but you won't let God do this to you. Mm-hmm. Now, can I tell you, if God would set up himself and say, I want to be your parent, why would you refuse God being your parent chipping away at you? And expect your children to obey you when they start getting your chipping. And by the way, we are called the children of God. We will never outgrow being a child of God. So here comes the Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father says, okay, I got some things in your... And by the way, it might be through some good old-fashioned preaching. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God begins to chip away at you here. Chip away. Hey, don't get mad at the preacher. Just like when you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you something. Hey, don't get mad at the doctor. He's not your enemy. He's your friend. He's trying to help you. He's trying to save your life. He's trying to give you information whereby you can make it another day. You can make it another year. He's the best friend you'll ever have in your life. So what takes place is this. All of us have a past. All of us have a potter. All of us are going to go through pain. Now why? Because God, the more God can chip the me out of me, the more God can chip the world out of me, the more God can work on my flesh, the closer I get to being like Jesus Christ. And so the more, and by the way, you ever have one of those power washers, you know? I mean, not one of the little stick guns, but I'm talking about something that's like a fireman's hose. And all of a sudden, you know, that fireman's hose has got a pinpoint on it, and it begins to go up and down. It begins to remove that stuff, maybe a paint remover. That pressure coming. Well, that's what happens when you get close to God. See, the closer you get to God, the more God works on you. You cannot continue to be in life. Well, God, you know, I don't want you to work on me. It hurts. Hey, listen, in order to get the cavity out, there's got to be some drilling done in order to be able to put the filling in. Hey, in order to be able to heal from the cancer, sometimes there's got to be a surgeon involved that's going to cut some of that cancer out. And can I say, that's the same way it is with an almighty God. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. I said that every single one of us is going to face a past. We have a past. We carry it with us. We understand it. We know what it is. All of us is going to have a potter that's going to work on us. All of us is going to have pain that we go through. I love the story of George Mueller. George Mueller wanted to be a missionary. He wanted to be a missionary real bad. And he told his daddy, he said, "Daddy, would you sign for me to be a missionary? I want to go through the Berlin Missionary Society." Daddy said, "I don't believe it's God's will you be a missionary. George, I just don't think it's God's will." George Mueller said, "I do believe it's God's will. What if God provides the money?" So George Mueller went out and bought a lottery ticket. He said, "Now I'm going to pray that God provides the money." He won. He took the money back to Daddy and said, "Daddy, I won. It's proof. God wants me to be a missionary." He said, "George, that's not the way God works." Now, wait a minute. You know the reason that George Mueller, if you read his diary, you know the foremost reason that George Mueller would never ask a man for a penny in all the years that he ran those orphanages? Because George knew that he could not trust himself with money. George knew that money had led him down the wrong path and would open a wrong door. So he made a vow before God that he would not ask a man for a penny, but he'd just get on his knees and he'd pray. And during those times when he had all those 10,000 young people that had gone through those orphanages, sometimes they'd sit down around what they call the bread table. They'd sit down around the bread table and there'd be no bread on the table. George Mueller would bow his head and he'd begin to pray. He said, "Dear God, today I've got these hundreds of young people. I don't have food to feed them. Dear God, would you please send food?" And a bread wagon would break down right outside the door. Now, what is that? That's God. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that all of us have a past. All of us have a potter. All of us go through pain. Let me submit to you one last thing, and I'm done, because everybody has a purpose. You know, all pottery is different. All pottery is different. You know, some of you have tall, and some of you have wide, and some of you have short, and some of you have skinny, and all pottery is different. It's used for different things. And by the way, when you enter into a pottery shop, here's what I know, because I've shopped in different places in Southeast Asia and whatnot, and so here, when you enter into a pottery shop, the best thing you can do is go to that which is the potter, tell him what the purpose is for, and he'll tell you what pot is good to fulfill that purpose. See, all of us are uniquely and differently made. There's not a one of us that can fulfill everything that the other person is called by God to fulfill. Because you're unique in your own standing. And God has a will for your life. And as you find that will and as you step into that will and you feel the peace of God that begins to overtake you because you know, hey, I hit it, I'm there. That's exactly what God wants. Now I'm saying that all of us, every single one of us has a past. Don't let that past ruin you. I'm saying this morning that all of us will come into contact with the potter. The potter loves you so much. He's going to work on you, and he's going to work on you, and he's going to work on you. And by the way, that's between you and the potter. And you know how he works on you. And all of a sudden, you think, man, it's all gone. Now, you know, he's not working on me. He's not making me. And all of a sudden now, you think, boy, I tell you what, I'm so blessed. I've taken the form. I've taken the shape that God wants me to have. And all of a sudden, he puts you through the fire. You say, it's just not right. I mean, I submitted myself, and he worked on me, and he got all the cracks out, and he got all the bumps out, and now he's putting me through the fire. What's that do? That's to sure you up. That is to sure you up. I've said often, you've heard me say this, and I'm done. Nobody can cause you to have a bad day. Nobody. You know, dear friend, if you have a bad day, it's because you choose to have a bad day. Yeah, so I tell you what, so-and-so was brought into my life, and they caused me not to enjoy the things of God. Oh, that's a sorry excuse. No, no. Your eyes are not supposed to be on them anyway. If they're causing you to have a bad day, it's because your eyes are in the wrong place. Because if your eyes was on the Lord, they would not affect your spirit. If your eyes was on the Lord, they wouldn't affect your service. But because your eyes is on them and not on Him, they affect you and they ruin your spirit. Hello? Let me use you. Let's say that Brother Palmer has a bad spirit, bad spirit, bad spirit. I'm done. This is it. I'm done. Let's say Brother Palmer has a bad spirit. Now, by the way, I've never been around the guy when he's had a bad spirit. I don't know him to have a bad spirit. Okay? But let's say he has a bad, look like he got a bad spirit. Just look like he had a bad spirit. Okay? And you're mad at the dog or something. He got a bad spirit. Okay? And, all right. So he got a bad spirit. Now, wait a minute. You know, if I walk into him and he's just criticizing and having a bad spirit, you know, just, you know, I'd say, how you doing? He just starts, shake my hand. I say, how you doing? And he just starts to complain and belly it. Go ahead, complain.
What's it to you? Why do you care?
I just thought I'd come around and see. I'll tell you what, I'll be praying for you. Have a good day. I'll get back with you later. I'm going to tell you why. Here's what happens. Go ahead.
What's it to you? Why you keep coming shaking my hand?
If he's got a bad spirit like that, I just keep hanging around. Keep going.
I mean, you already shook my hand once today. You don't need to do it again.
Keep going.
I already said hi to you. I don't have any money for you.
By the way, if I was you, I'd stay away from him. I mean, that's going to kill you, man. Now, I'm telling you, that would kill anybody. Sure it would. Now, unless you're able to say, I realize you're having a... Go ahead.
Why do you keep shaking my hand?
Man, I realize you're having a hard time. That's why. Sure do love you. I don't care if you want to listen to it or not. I care about you. I love you. I'm here for you. Now, look, I'm going to go. I'm going to pray for you. If you need me and I can help you, you come see me, okay? All right, I love you, man. Okay. All right, now, wait a minute. I left, but I gave him some things about the Lord to hang on to. Here's the natural thing. How you doing?
Why do you keep shaking my hand?
I don't know. Because you were here.
Yeah. I can leave.
Well, I'm not really wanting you to leave.
Yeah. Well, I guess you can shake my hand.
Yeah, and we just go back and forth, even though we don't know what to say right now.
Yeah.
We go back and forth. But here's what happens. The longer that goes on, here's what happens to my spirit. Here's what happens to me.
Right.
Like, bloop,
right.
Bloop. Blue. I'm, you know, I came up, I'm coming up, hey, great to see you. Man, God has been so good. Let me tell you about some things.
Okay.
Man, come on. Man, I'm going from here to here in one sentence. Okay. Now, I'm saying this, realize he has a past too, so give him some grace. I don't know what he's going through. You realize this, I love you. You know, everybody cannot be like you when you're at your peak. Think on that. Not everybody can walk around. You're walking around smiling right now. Woo! You're about 1 out of 10. You know, most people are walking around, they got that straight face. You know, I mean, it's just like, I made it to church. Yeah, it's rough, you know. So what do? Give people grace. Don't expect them to be like you. Don't expect them to take on your personality. Don't do that. You know, I love being around people. I do. I love being around people. I love encouraging people. I love trying to take... When I see somebody's got a down spirit, here's the thing that hits my head. Okay, I need to change that. Now, what can I do to change their spirit before I leave their presence? I want to change it. I want to help them. Okay? But if I go into something, come on, dear friend, stay with me. But if you go into something where you're not going in to help, but you're going in to be helped, you're going in to have a friend that walks beside you, here's what happens every single time. How you doing?
Why are you so happy all the time?
I'm not happy. I'm glad you saw that. I'm really depressed too. What are you depressed about?
The weather. It's hot outside.
Man, I tell you, it is just terrible in Texas. Terrible.
Yes,
absolutely terrible in Texas. I tell you what, you know, when I came to Texas, I thought it'd be like a heavenly place.
No,
in the summertime, oh, it's dreadful.
It's
it is just so dreadful. How's your family doing?
Terrible. My dog got out the other day.
Your dog got out. Man, that is just so terrible.
Kids are all upset.
Yeah, we had a flower on the back porch. It died. Man, it's terrible. That's just so terrible.
Wait.
You know, I tried to cook pizza the other day, and you know what happened?
You didn't invite me.
You see where it could go? Everybody has a past. Everybody has a potter. Everybody is going to suffer some pain sometime. If you live long enough, you're going to face it. Don't let that distort your purpose. You stay living for God. You stay faithful to the things of God. You stay loving God. You let God help and work in your life. God can do wonderful things. Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.